Let me invite all who remain right here to open up God's Word with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2 today as we continue our track, our journey in this book of God's Word. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. That's what we just sung. Isn't that a song we ought to sing with gusto if we believe it? I mean, really, that ought to be true of every song that we sing, new or old, that recounts the gospel of grace. I was so wondrously saved from sin. Do you believe that? In today's text, we meet a woman who was known for her sin, Rahab the prostitute. Her reputation precedes her, and as we see in God's Word, it follows her. Yet in His mercy, God spares her. He spares her. He delivers her from death and saves her from sin and incorporates her into His own family. And we're meant to read about her and realize that that is a pretty big deal. So even though she's a memorable character, she is, when we read her story, we're meant, church, we're meant to be amazed by her God, the only God. And so let's hear from God this morning. Let's look at the story. Joshua chapter 2, as you find your place there in the Bible, let me invite all who are able to join me standing for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read all of chapter 2. So we stand in honor and reverence for the Lord. If you need to sit, don't hesitate to sit. But I'm going to read the whole chapter. Let's hear from God's Word. The Bible says, "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim." I don't know if that's how you say that, but I think that's best for our purposes this morning. "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from." At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. "I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Verse 8, "Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us, unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and your mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them." But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." Pause with me for prayer. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Instruct us now in it by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit for the glory of your name. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated. What a story. What an account. Like, this is one of those Bible stories that you don't forget. I remember learning it as a kid, and it stuck with me along the way. But what's it about? Why is it here? Why such detail at this particular juncture in Joshua? How does it fit the overarching story of God's word? As we've already seen in our time in Joshua over the last couple weeks, Joshua points us to Jesus. He's a type of Jesus, meaning if we're familiar with the Bible, when we read about Joshua, we're meant to think about Jesus. And I would say when we read about Rahab, we're also meant to think about Jesus. For just as the Lord spared Rahab the prostitute when she hung the scarlet cord in her window, recalling the Passover lamb's blood that was put over the doorpost, sparing the Israelites from the death of the firstborn, so the Lord spares sinners today with faith in the Lamb of God who was slain for them. The red thread reminds us of the blood of the Lamb. Friends, this is an account of salvation. Jesus delivers dubious sinners from deserved destruction and uses them for his kingdom purposes. He's a God who delivers dubious sinners, morally suspect, dubious sinners from deserved destruction and uses them for his kingdom purposes. That's what God's doing here in Joshua chapter 2, and that's what he desires to do, friend, with you. It's what he desires to do with me. It's a God who delivers dubious sinners from deserved destruction and uses them for his kingdom purposes. Notice God's nature in this story. His nature. Who he is. What he's like. Because the Lord God is the key character in this text. In the whole book of Joshua, indeed in every text of God's word, he's the key character. And so when we open the Bible, we do so, church, to hear from God. We read the word of God because we want to know God, because we want to hear from him. Who is he? Well, he is the one who empowers Joshua to lead. We've seen that in chapter 1. The Lord calls Joshua to take the place of leadership. He says, "I'm going to be with you. Never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. Trust me. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And then Joshua begins to command the people, and here in chapter 2, Joshua begins to implement the plan that God has given to him. He's also the Lord who uses secret spies and a known prostitute to be agents of divine deliverance. He's the God who is going to give this people this land. We see that repeated again in verse 9, verse 14, verse 24. He's the one who produces faith in the hearts of unlikely candidates. He's the God who shows compassion on the wounded and an interest in all peoples. Church, I think one of the takeaways from this text is that God uses folks with a checkered record. God uses folks with a checkered record. See, the God of Joshua 2, sure enough, uses Madam Rahab, a lady with a checkered record. Now, we don't know why the spies went to her home. Right? Perhaps because her home was also the inn of Jericho. Or maybe this was a place to receive some unofficial news, the latest news, and a place that they wanted to go undetected. Undetected, listening and looking for valuable intel that would help Joshua, their commander-in-chief, draw up battle plans against the city of Jericho, for that's what they're about to do. That's what God has told them to do. And from Jericho in central Palestine to divide and conquer the rest of Canaan, the northern kingdom, and then, or the northern part of the land, and the southern conquest part of the land. But Rahab, she's a harlot. And quite frankly, we see here that she's a liar. She lies to Jericho's king. But the Lord redeems her life. You see, her sin isn't too much for the Savior. Her sin is not too much for the Savior. And I don't know where you come from, what you bring with you today, but neither is yours. None of our sin is too much for the Savior. God delivers her from deserved destruction and uses her for His kingdom purposes. He uses her to save the spies from execution. And He uses her, He's still using her to tell people like us that He's a God who delights in using folks with a checkered record. Folks like us who simply have faith in Him. You see, Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute, becomes a charter member of God's hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Author of James says in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? See, we've all got things in our past that we wish we could erase. I know I do. I could rewrite my story. If I could rewrite my life, there'd be some pieces that I would change, no doubt. I dare say that the same would be true of you. But this woman with a checkered record can't get away from her record. She can't. Joshua, Hebrews, James, wherever she lands in God's word, she remains Rahab the prostitute. Why? Surely she quit being such a shady lady when she met El Shaddai. You see, the Lord allows her to retain her record, for her record speaks of her redemption. It speaks of the redemption brought about by her God and our God. She's no longer just Rahab the prostitute. She's Rahab the righteous prostitute. No longer defined by her sin, but counted among the saved. Are you counted among the saved? Are you still defined by your sin? Heard that text from Ephesians 2 this morning that David read. We were dead in our sins. Are you still dead in your sins? Are you counted among the saved? Not on the basis of your morality, right? For there's no one righteous, no, not even one. That's what the Bible says. But on the basis of His mercy. You see, not only is Rahab the righteous prostitute counted among the saved, but she happens to be counted in the lineage of the Savior. The righteous one. Listen to what Matthew writes in Matthew chapter 1. This is how it begins, his gospel account, his record of Jesus' life. He says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham is the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, the Moabitess. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And so the list goes. Keeps going on. We won't read the whole genealogy this morning, but it ends up in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 with, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Love the way Matthew records Jesus' genealogy, His family history, connecting Jesus the Messiah to Abraham and to King David. That's the real purpose of the record for his Jewish audience, connecting Jesus to God's promises. But Matthew doesn't want us to miss a few of the mothers in this royal lineage. See, prior to Mary, he mentions four other ladies. Four other ladies are named Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and the wife of Uriah, aka Bathsheba. None of whom are likely candidates for royal lineage. None of them. That's why Matthew's mentioning them here. Yet all of whom are welcomed into the family of God. Friends, God is a God of redemption who delivers dubious sinners from deserved destruction and uses them for his kingdom purposes. In other words, he doesn't just give them a spot on the team, but he puts them in the game. The Lord redeems every sinner with faith in him. Redeems every single sinner with faith in him. Everyone. She's a Canaanite and a prostitute and a liar, yet she's in the lineage of the Lamb of God. Redeemed. Set free. And welcomed in. A living reminder that the dividing line between the Israelites and the Canaanites wasn't fixed along ethnic lines, but upon allegiance to the Lord. The Lord redeems every sinner with faith in him. Is your faith in him? Oh, friend, is your faith in this God? You see, she's heard of Yahweh. She's heard of the Lord, and she believes in him. The Bible says faith comes from hearing the message, and she's heard the message. What does she say in chapter 2, verse 9? She says, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. She says, we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, what you did to Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites. When we heard of it, verse 11, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. Why? Listen to what she says. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above, and on the earth below. Friends, she believed. She believed. She had faith in this God. She wasn't just fearful for her life, but she was ready to follow the Lord of life. And so as the story unfolds, we'll get there in chapter 6, verse 25, we read these words. Now, Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And get this, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. What a statement of salvation and of sanctification, of preservation, a reminder that the Lord saves every single sinner with faith in him. Incorporating men and women from various races and places into his multi-ethnic people. You see that verse there, Joshua chapter 6, verse 25, testifies that Joshua was written, this account was written soon after these events unfolded. It says she lives among the Israelites. In other words, she's still alive. She's still alive, and you can find her. You can go see where she is, inhabiting among God's people in the promised land. She's living with God's people. Oh, friends, may such things be said of us. Dubious sinners deserving destruction. Spared by God's grace, past tense. Living among or gathering with God's people, present tense. And eagerly anticipating. Anticipating the fulfillment of God's promises, future tense. For this God, our God, will deliver on all his good promises in Christ. He will deliver. God's a God who delivers. He will deliver on all his good promises in Jesus Christ. This chapter ends with eager anticipation, with trust that God is going to give the promised land to his people, just as he said. That's the message the spies come back with to Joshua, these two secret spies. They say in verse 24, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. A marked contrast with that earlier expedition into the promised land, where the majority message of the secret spies sent by Moses in the previous generation was quite different. Perhaps Joshua's learned that two men who trust the Lord are far better than 10 men who trust themselves. Friends, whatever the case, I'm quite confident that we're meant as believers today to read this and to revel in the riches of God's mercy. His mercy upon sinners and the fullness of God's faithfulness is faithful to all of His good promises and the preservation of His promises, because even though this story is taking place long ago with generations passing in order for these things to be fulfilled, history is His story, God's story, and it's moving toward the mission that He planned before the foundation of the world, the plan for Christ Jesus to deliver dubious sinners from deserved destruction and to use them for His kingdom purposes. Paul would say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." Meaning that the Old Testament scriptures point to and reach fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who said to His followers one day, He said, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there and to prepare a place for you?" Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, to be my people, to be in my presence, to be part of my kingdom, to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You see, Jesus delivers dubious sinners from deserved destruction and uses them for His kingdom purposes, His kingdom where the King will dwell with us. His kingdom that lasts forever and ever and ever. His kingdom comprised of the righteous. The righteous. Like Rahab the prostitute. The righteous who arrive in that state, not on the basis of their morality, but on the basis of His morality. Not on the account of earned righteousness, but by way of imputed righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus credited to every sinner with faith in Him. Friend, is your faith in Him? Is your faith in this one who rescues sinners, who welcomes the broken, who reconciles the lost into a right relationship with the God who saves? Oh, friend, receive the righteousness of Christ. Receive the righteousness of Christ today. Come to Him. But friend, come to Him just as you are, without one plea, simply believing Christ's blood was shed for thee. Receive the righteousness of Christ today and be counted among the great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Be counted among the Tamars and Rahabs who traded in their street clothes for a clean white robe washed in the blood of the Lamb who graciously delivers dubious sinners from deserved destruction and gladly uses them for His kingdom purposes. Amen. Oh Father, help us look to Jesus, Your Son, who is our Savior. Oh Father, thank You for sending the Lamb of God to take away our sins, for coming in the flesh to live the life that we didn't and couldn't. Lord, the only perfect life, tempted and tried in every way, just as we are, and yet without sin. So that He would become the spotless sacrifice, the pure and perfect one whose blood was shed on our account for our sins, that You might remain just, a righteous and just judge, and yet justify sinners, declare us righteous in Your sight because of the gift of righteousness that You have credited to our account. God, help us to believe that gospel truth. Lead us even now to sing of it to lay our hearts before you, to respond with repentance and faith. It's fitting for those who've heard from God. Guide us now. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.